Welcome back to the podcast, Kantians. On today's episode, Cape and I are joined by a buddy of his named Joe Adams. This guy is so young to be in the industry, and it's really cool to kind of pick his brain after hearing Daniel Miller's story, where he's been in the industry for 20 plus years, and then Joe's, where he's been in the industry for maybe a year now. And so it was really cool to kind of see the comparisons and the contrasts of like, okay. And they also manage different aspects of the band. But I hope you guys really enjoy. This episode was fun. And you probably hear us mention that there's a video aspect. That will be coming soon. Right now it's just the audio version. But stay tuned to the YouTube channel. We're also going to start a Vimeo for it. And that will be our first video podcast. Don't get too excited though. Like, temper down your expectations because it's our first time doing it. We're in a beta trial with a company. So, but I hope you guys really enjoy this episode. Give us feedback, rate us, however way you want to contact us. The socials will be down in the description. So, enjoy this episode.
Coors Banquet, brewed in the Rockies.
Welcome back to the I Can't Even podcast with Lakota and Cabe.
What's up, guys?
Yo, and our guest today is Joe. Joe, I don't think I ever got your last name.
My last name is Adams, Joe Adams.
Joe, dude, that's a dope-ass name.
Pretty basic, so here we are.
That's a dope name. Cool. So I know we normally start off with a game. And this is the first video podcast that we're going to do, so we should start off with the game.
Game so, time.
This is Stuff Happens. I was going to show the mic. That's so dumb. So if you guys haven't picked this up yet, it's a really fun game. This is the game that Cabe and I have played with a guest before. We've played the past. This is that true and false one. This looks so
I don't even know that one.
Yeah, I mean, that was the trivia game that you're okay at, but this
when did
is...
we do that? We played that.
I didn't publish it. Oh shit! I haven't published that episode yet. We recorded that shit like 2 weeks ago.
Whoops.
Yeah, sorry, listeners. They're like, "Where the fuck have you guys been?" I've gotten no messages about that, which is sad. But
all of our people on Twitter are hitting us up.
Yeah, we're all about the twats. So I'm just gonna shuffle up some of these. So Joe, have you listened? Yeah, Joe, have you listened to the podcast before?
Oh wait, you listened to the one with Daniel?
Right? I did. I listened to the one with Daniel you guys put out recently.
So okay, he heard awesome. This game.
Awesome. So it's a very basic game. I'm trying to make sure we have like very very new cards, so I don't want us to repeat some like we did the last time. So I'm gonna pull from the middle. And that should be fresh. So just a refresher for the listeners and for Joe. I mean, you've only heard it once. This game is very, very basic. So basically, there's going to be two cards that I draw. Cabe will go first just to kind of demonstrate. And he has to pick the card that sounds basically the most miserable. So it's based off of misery index.
Go.
Let's do it.
All right, cool. Cabe, you're going to go first. I'm going to hide the cards from you. Okay. So you wake up covered in fire ants is your first card.
Okay.
And your second card is you lose all hair everywhere.
Losing all hair.
Dude, that was such a close one. I can actually show you now. So that one's 79.5. This one's 80.
What?
Wow.
Yeah,
dude, the one that was like falling off a merry-go-round was like 60. How is that? How is fire ants worse than that?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't think losing all my hair would be that bad. To be honest, I mean,
I would hate that.
I don't care.
People but see my chunky little face.
Yeah, April, my wife is like, "You're never shaving your head again," because I've done it once in our relationship. She goes, "You have such a weird shaped head." I'm like, it's inevitable. It's going to happen.
Sorry, sweetheart.
This is so weird. I have to look at the camera. I'm so used to just looking like everywhere
else. I'm looking
at
my TV. I'm not even looking at the camera.
That's what you're looking up to.
Yeah, hold on. I'll unplug it. I'll turn it off.
Too much of a distraction.
Yeah, I mean, I that's just always what I'm looking at. And you can't even see Joe.
I'm hiding behind the arm of the mic.
Right. Joe, you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. So, part number one, you're bitten by a shark while water skiing. That one's really bad. And then your second card is roller coaster stalls. You dangle upside down for 2 hours.
It's probably the shark, because if you wouldn't have said the 2 hours, I would have picked that. But you have, like, you know how long you're dangling for. So let's go shark.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. I mean, I'm assuming if you're dangling, you don't know that you're going to be there for 2 hours. But the misery, yeah. I don't know. So, yeah, it's shark. So
that's 70, only 78.3?
Yeah, I feel like that one would be
Is this
really,
out of 100?
Really
What's yes. the scale? Okay.
Dude, yeah, it's 1 to 100. Sorry, I should have explained that.
The fire ants is 80, and that's 78? That's crazy.
Yeah, well, fire ants can be really annoying. And then 63. So these ones were really close, too. Dude, the roller coaster one would scare the living shit out
of
me.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'd be out on that note.
Dude, yeah. I rode a roller coaster one time. And
only one time?
So they, like, always test and, like, pull on the little strap or whatever that you're wearing. And they tested mine. I'm on the front row. And they, like, pulled out of the lock.
Oh,
right
shit.
Before we went. And I was like, oh, hey, you guys might want to, like, check on this. And they, like, plugged it back in, and we just went. Like, they didn't take me out of that seat or anything.
They're like, nah, dog, you're good.
It's fine.
Centripetal force, bro. You're just
right.
Dude, you're going to stay planted in your seat.
You've committed at this point, buddy. You're here. So
yeah. Oh, I would probably shit myself if that happened.
It was
like,
scary, man.
Like, nah, I'm getting off. I love roller coasters too, but if that safety harness is not staying put, nah, dog, count me out. Okay. So it's my turn. I have the numbers covered up. The first one is you are mugged, which
it's kind of broad.
That one is broad, but it does have a picture of a dude with a gun. So you're mugged at gunpoint. I think that adds to the terror of it. And then you're clawed by a rabid raccoon. Honestly, I'm going to go with you're mugged. I feel like that one would be a lot more traumatic than a raccoon. I mean, I'm going to kick the shit out of that raccoon. If it comes near me. So wow, I got it by 0.2 points. Wait. So your mugged is 62.5.
damn.
And rabid raccoon 62.3.
Look at that.
Dude, this is like this is the closest this game has ever been.
Yeah,
as far as,
like,
these numbers go.
Points, yeah,
that's sick. All right, Cabe, you're up again. Okay. So your first one is you find maggots mixed in with your fried rice, protein, and then cracked cell phone screen.
Maggots.
Oh, yeah. That one was the easy one.
Easy.
62.1. And then 45.1.
Ugh.
I mean, if you're in, like, China or something like that, the maggots probably wouldn't be too bad, huh?
Yeah, that's like just China, part of their normal protein, you know?
I mean, we're assuming. I don't know if they actually eat maggots, but it just sounds like something they would throw in their fried rice.
Yeah.
All right, Joe. You are up. I'm trying to keep these piles separated so we can just tally up the points. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right, buddy. You file for bankruptcy.
Okay.
Okay. If you're Donald Trump, that's not too bad. You smell like a fart for the rest of your life.
It's got to be the fart, right? Like, you got to choose that.
So you're wrong, but not by much. So bankruptcy is 78. And smell like a fart is 77.5.
Dude, these another are close so one. Close.
They are.
So close.
This is the best game we've played so far. Okay, my turn. I got to make sure. Okay, I covered the number. Okay. Major earthquake, which I've been in one of those. I've been in, what was that earthquake I was last in? It was like a 6.8.
Yikes.
It scared the shit out of me. And I was drunk as hell. It was not a good time to be intoxicated. And then mauled by a crazed chimp. I'm just going to go with earthquake because I know how scary those are, but a chimp will like fuck you up.
That would be pretty scary.
Yeah, a chimp will fuck you up.
That's got to be chimp, dude.
I am going to go with chimp because I'm like, man, that thing will fuck you up.
That will kill you.
Bro, I should have stuck with earthquake. So earthquake was 77 and crazed chimp was 76.5.
Oh my goodness.
These have literally been within decimals of each other.
All of them except for the cracked screen.
That's crazy.
I've been like less than one.
Okay, last round. Okay, beer up.
Let's go.
Okay. World's most wanted terrorists start using your name. Didn't that happen to Daniel?
Pretty much.
They literally looked at the case of Daniel and be like, yeah, this must suck. I mean, he has to go through airport security and get searched every time. That was Toronto. Daniel.
It's only when he goes to Canada. That's funny.
And then, obese, smelly seatmate on a 7-hour flight. So these
World's
are both
worst terrorist.
Yeah, but not by much. These have been really close. Although a 7-hour flight with an obese, smelly person.
That would be horrible.
Blah. 76.1 for the terrorist. 74.1 for
Jeez
smelly
Louise.
Obese. Yeah. Wow. Wow, 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 wow.
That's
wow.
Crazy.
All right, Joe. You're mistakenly deported. Which I'm sure happens down here, like at least several times a year. If you don't know, Joe, I live on the Mexican border.
Okay.
I live in Laredo. And then your other card is you're shot in the leg.
I feel like mistakenly reported's got to take the cake on that one.
Yeah. Again, not by much. Mistakenly deported is 73.5. And then shot in the leg. Is 73.
Jeez. Dude, you rigged this. You picked these cards up.
Something's up with this game. I'm not
buying
it.
Dude, I literally picked from one pile. There's two piles. I picked from one pile in the middle. And I'm going to start doing that from now on because that has been great. You know what? I just want to talk about the mistakenly deported one. It kind of depends on what country you're being deported to.
Yeah, if I was getting deported to like
Barbados.
Yeah, Bahamas. Like, I'm in for that.
Like, all right, Lakota, you're heading back to Cabo. No, okay. All right.
You have to start looking at that.
No, I saw
rock.
Those numbers. Yeah. Okay. I saw those numbers, so I put them back down. Okay. I have to like cover the bottoms. Okay. All right. So my first card is you lose your pinky. I don't ever use it anyways. Mm. And then you develop elephantitis.
What's elephantitis?
Elephantitis. They say elephantitis, but I've always said elephantitis. I don't know. It's when like your one of your limbs like grows uncontrollably. I'm gonna say elephantitis.
Yeah.
I was wrong. Oh my goodness. Lose your pinky is 71.5 and elephantitis is 71.1.
What?
No, this one would be much more miserable.
That would suck. Those are like two complete opposites too. Like you lose like your pinky or you grow an extra limb.
I know, that's ridiculous. I think you and Joe are tied. So
a little sudden death here then?
A little sudden death round?
Yeah. So I'm gonna pick up two cards and you guys are gonna pick your choice. And then whoever, yeah, we'll do it like that. Whoever, no. Actually, I'm going to pick one card and you have to guess the misery index of it.
Okay.
That's a better one.
Yeah.
That's a better one. Cause that's like definitive. You guys aren't going to get the right one.
Yeah.
Or the same one. Okay. So your guys' card is attacked by swarm of bees. What's the misery index for that?
All right, I got mine. You want us to say it at the same time?
I mean, you don't have to.
All right, 68.3.
Okay, Joe, what's yours?
I'm going to go with 73.
Joe wins.
Damn.
If we're not going over, but I'm just going to go with who has the closest.
Yeah.
So it was 71.
Dang.
So Joe won by like
very small amount.
Very marginal.
Had a close game here.
That was a really close game. Can you guys hear my MacBook like screaming game. At me?
Yeah, mine's doing it too. Mine's really loud right now.
Yeah. So hopefully that
it's because it's got to be because of the video.
Oh, without a doubt. I need to also just get a new computer.
You're just getting blurry. Like you're really blurry now. At first you were like 1080, but now you're like
one. Yeah. So you are too. So for the listeners that don't know, we've been using Zencastr. I've been using it since almost day one is when I started investing in it. And now we're in the beta for the video. So that's what this is. What's cool though, is that locally I'm still recorded in 1080. So are you.
Yeah. Oh, so you can just splice them together.
Yeah. So we're just right now while we're streaming, it's gonna record at the lowest resolution that it can.
Okay.
But it's still recording you. It does the same thing with our audio. Our audio, sometimes when you and I are listening back, it's like, man, that sounded horrible live. And then after post-production, it's like, wow, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Right. Or it sounds way better. So that's what we're doing. So this is just our first crack at it. So if you're only listening to this, if we do decide to publish this, I can't imagine why we wouldn't. But if we do decide, if we do decide, it's going to go on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Vimeo. Stuff what are like the other that. Platforms? What are the All platforms I could go on? All of them. All of them. Okay. So, Cabe, I know you wanted to talk about COVID. So
I want to kind of get to that at the end with this.
Okay, because with Joe, so Joe, introduce yourself. Like, what do you do? Who you are? Like, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Let me fix this camera a little bit. Let me, like, try and...
Yeah, so first off, thanks for having me on. This is my first podcast. I'm very excited about it.
Welcome.
So I'm a tour manager and a front of house engineer for a band out of Nashville, Diamond Rio. They got their start in the 90s, and they've been touring for about 30 years now. So
they've
been around the block.
Wow. Okay, so tell me, like, first of all, you seem really young. How old are you?
I'm 24. I graduated from MTSU in August of 2019. So I'm just over a year out of being out of school.
Okay, so you are really young. So how did you get in touch with a band that's been touring for 30 years?
I met our lead guitar player through a now ex-girlfriend. We were at a little party for her. We hit it off. Me and Jimmy Olander hit it off. We were chatting. I told him I wanted to do touring and wanted to go into music and stuff, having no idea who he was or who the band he was with was. And we kept in touch for about 6 months. And he offered to throw me my hat in the ring to work for Josh Turner, if you're familiar with that country act.
You've got to know Josh Turner, Lakota. Dude.
Nope, I don't.
Your man?
Long Black Train.
Nope.
Dude. All right.
Doesn't right. I mean, if I heard it, I probably have.
Definitely, yeah. You probably recognize definitely. It.
Yeah, but off a name alone, no.
Well, I was in the running to hop on his crew. It didn't work out. And then Jimmy hit me up again. He was like, hey, like, if that was cool for Josh and it's cool for us, do you want to come out and be our TM and front of house engineer? And I said, yeah, of course. So
explain what front of house is.
Yeah, for those who do not know, front of house engineer is the guy that you see on the soundboard when you go to a live show, and he's out there running anything that you hear on stage is through him, essentially.
Pressing all the buttons, moving all the knobs, doing the live, fixing the live mix.
Yep.
Okay, so he's the one that makes everything sound good live. Perfect. And how long have you been doing it now?
So I got hired on with them last October, so it's been about a year, not including the fact that we've been pretty much off since March.
Right. And I know, Cabe, I know you want to like save that for later, but I kind of want to like dive into that.
So when I met, Joe, I don't know, that was maybe May, I think.
Yeah.
No, roughly. It wasn't May because we were in their new house and they moved in July, right?
It was sometime over the summer.
It was over
recent.
The summer. Yeah. It was like probably July. Like within the first week of July, I went to my buddy Rains' house. He had just moved to Nashville, and he's a manager. We could talk about him for like 30 minutes, but Joe was just hanging out over there before he had to get on the bus at midnight. So we could talk about that too, because I think that's interesting how we do that in Nashville and nobody else does. At least on like runs.
Right.
So
yeah, let's get
Joe
into
was
it.
Getting ready to go on a run with them to like Missouri.
Yeah, we were going to Missouri that weekend.
We were going to Missouri, and this was over the summer. So they get on the bus at midnight and head to the location and whatever. So that's how we met. But they were, this is a COVID show. That's what we were getting at. As this was like a show
socially distanced, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
Okay.
So talk about that. How did they set that up? Like, I don't even know much about the show. I just know you were going.
So when everything happened in March, we went through and changed a lot of our protocols for like how we load in, for instance, with local crew, catering, all that stuff. And so a lot of the shows obviously have disappeared or moved down the calendar toward next year. We've had a few hold, like that one in Missouri. So that was a 4th of July show. It was outdoors. It was at the Capitol, Jefferson City. And I don't think I ever told you this, Kate, but it ended up getting rained out that following day.
I did hear that, I think either you told me that or Rains told me that, which sucks.
Yeah, and that was our first show since March 15th. It got rained out. Wow. But the process, it changed on our end. COVID-wise, I would say a lot going through like advancing. So advancing the gig is like if I have to talk to a promoter, I'm like, hey, you know, we play your show October 31st in, I don't know, Macon, Georgia. You know, we're going to come in this time. This is our load in. This is where the band's going to be at. I need a runner. I need different things. And so all our protocols change regarding fan meet and greets, like I said, catering and stuff like that.
Do they
that.
Even do meet and greets? For that show, did y'all have one plan?
No.
Okay.
And we're done with meet and greets for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Right.
Possibly ever.
Well, those are hard to do, when especially right now with COVID.
Right.
They're impossible to do. It's just a lot of handshaking.
Yeah. I mean, from my perspective, I mean, I've never been on tour or anything, but like meet and greets seem like kind of a shit show as it is, like already. Like
always.
Pre-pandemic or anything, but
always. I remember, so I worked in a lot of trades, but one of like my weekend jobs when I was in college, and I mean basically as soon as I turned 18, was working at a venue. And I ended up working at two, just working as a parking attendant, because up in Alaska, once it snows, you can't see the parking lines. So my job was to make sure we could cram as many cars safely in our parking lots.
Yeah.
And after every show, like no matter what, it was like Seinfeld, Kevin Hart, fucking just really any band, like Motley Crue, they would do meet and greets, and those lines would wrap around the building.
Yeah,
it would take hours. And yeah. Like, man, that just sounds miserable for not only the people that are waiting in line to meet, you know, who they paid to see, but then also the artists and their crew who are like fucking exhausted.
Yeah.
From doing the show.
They got to refocus and then do the show unless they're doing it afterwards.
Yeah. Most of them do it before, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
We always did it before. It was 30 minutes prior to show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember there was a couple that did it after, and it was like usually the last show of the night. Cause like Kevin Hart would do two shows a night.
Yeah.
And he would do two nights. So he was doing four shows in Anchorage on a Friday and Saturday night. And I remember the last one he would do it afterwards. Hopefully he's changed that.
Yeah.
But it's exhausting no matter what, because you're getting a lot of stimuli before you have to go and go on stage and perform or, you know, play music or whatever it is.
And you got to keep that same energy, you know, from every single fan that walks in front of your face too. You know, it can't be like, okay, I saw 10 fans. Now let me take a break and be like, oh yeah, hey, good to see you. Like you have to keep that same energy the whole time.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that persona almost.
Yep. Yep. And a lot of them are personas. I mean,
yeah,
they really are. I mean,
Lakota, have you heard the story about Garth Brooks signing autographs for 23 hours?
No.
It's a true story from what I've heard.
Never heard this. What is it?
He talks about it in his Netflix documentary, which by the way is pretty freaking sick.
Okay. But
basically, he just signed autographs until everybody was gone. I don't know how he did that. Like, I don't even know how that's feasible, but apparently he pulled it off.
Well, a key word is he did it once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like,
sure. Point.
He's like, I'm never fucking doing this. Again.
He's always like a man of the people, though. Like, he always has like really great, like, you always hear great things about Garth with his fans and stuff. So that's cool. And it's good that artists do that to keep it kind of human in a way. Like, we're just people. It's just a conversation. And that's like a meet and greet's a good way to do that, but it's also exhausting.
I thought they were all aliens.
It seems like it. It seems like it, honestly, in a lot of ways, but.
Yeah. I mean, Bon Jovi just performed, this past weekend?
I have no idea.
For the Emmys, I think it was. Or maybe it was the iHeartRadio Music Awards or something like that.
Was it like it was just like him on stage? It was like nobody was there?
No, I think they did everything over Zoom. I don't know.
Oh.
I'm not sure. But still, I mean, Homeboy's still, like, that entire band is still performing.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. I mean, they're old as shit.
There's a lot of old people. Steven Tyler.
Yeah.
I can't believe they still.
Yeah.
But
fucking Red Hot Chili Peppers. That was a band I saw when they came up in Anchorage. And they, like, holy shit, you guys have not aged very well.
Yeah. So what?
Sound great, but just, you know.
Yeah. So what, like, prompted you to get into the industry? Where are you from?
So I'm originally from Gainesville, Georgia. It's about 45 minutes northeast of Atlanta. I actually got started running sound in a church.
Okay.
That's
fairly common in the South.
Right. So I started about 16, knew I wanted to do it. And that's when I started researching schools to attend. And I looked at Clemson, Belmont, and MTSU, toured all three. And I just kind of fell in love with MT and knew I wanted to go on the road one day. And it's panned out so far.
So you knew that's what you wanted to do? You didn't come here to, like, be an artist or anything?
No. See, I don't play any instruments. I say I play the soundboard.
Yeah.
That's it.
Love that. That's actually pretty sick. So most people that come to MTSU, like me, for example, like, I came here, I wanted to be a songwriter, and now I'm in artist management. Like, it changes. It happens when people move to Nashville too. Like, they kind of realize that's not their niche and they want to do something else. So that's cool that you stuck with that. That's pretty sick.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is. And so what is, like, the key thing that you've learned from the industry? I mean, you're very, very young to it.
So I'm very fresh, and, like, I'll repeat what I heard Daniel say on the podcast, and I found it to be true. It's like, if you can work hard every day and just give your 110%, and then you're a decent person, you have a decent chance that it'll pan out. You know, you got to bring that energy every day, and you got to get through a lot of bull crap doing it. But as long as you can work hard and truly work hard, you'll figure it out. You'll go places, I think.
Yeah. I completely agree. Yeah.
I mean, that's with anything.
Yeah. You know,
and that, I think the key thing there was just be authentic.
Right.
You know, that's something that Vivint beat into Cabe and I.
Yeah. You don't know about Vivint. So we met because of the work. I told you we worked together, but we sold home security door to door.
Okay.
And so we were at a conference in Texas in October. It's been almost a year. So it was like October 5th or something. And that's where we met.
Holy shit.
I know. It's been a year, dude.
Wow.
I know.
Dude, actually, and I published, I have now deleted it, but December 20, well, the first podcast I published on iConti even was in November. And I deleted it. It was just like a 2-minute audio clip.
Yeah.
And so the anniversary now is moved to December 23rd.
Yeah.
So we'll have to do something big for the listeners.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy, dude. This year in a lot of ways has flown by just because, partially probably because I've been like I've pretty much just been lazy. Like, just there hasn't been any routine. So it seems like, in a lot of ways, it seems like March was yesterday, but also, like, it's been a year pretty much since we've met. That's kind of crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do something special for that too. And do you remember the exact day? Was it like October 13th or something like that?
I could look back.
That's crazy.
Get all romantic, but
yeah.
So I want to talk about Diamond Rio, cause I know who they are, but as I'm looking, like, at their awards and stuff, right? So 1992 CMA and ACM Vocal Group of the Year, CMA Vocal Group of the Year, 93, 94. Like, they're pretty, I just didn't realize how, like, really accomplished they were. Cause you hear about, like, people in the 90s and stuff. Daniel said it a lot too. Like, like an artist. Oh, they were big in the 90s, but these people are still around. They're just not everybody's Tim McGraw or Kenny Chesney or, like, Garth or George Strait, you know, but there's people that killed it in the 90s that are still out here grinding. I just think that's cool that they're still doing it. And because these guys are not, I mean, they're not young.
Like, no, they're not.
Yeah.
They've been doing ice. I mean,
shut up.
Just kidding. Okay. No, that is cool. I looked them up and I can honestly say I've never heard their songs.
I hadn't either. I just knew their name.
I've never even heard of them, yeah. But I liked it. And it really does have that like kind of like 80s, 90s techno country kind of blend to it.
Right.
And I thought that was really neat.
One thing that's cool about their sound is that they ping back and forth off of each other. Which you do find in the 90s a lot, but a lot more than a lot of people do. Like they're pinging back and forth. Like say Jimmy has a guitar solo that then carries right into a piano solo that then carries into a mandolin solo. Yeah. And they ping back and forth, especially live, very well. And it's very unique. And it's not as just simple chords as a lot of music is. It's a lot more instrumentational than you would think.
Yeah. So when you're mixing, say like when you're mixing a solo or whatever, do you change anything? Because I know nothing about live sound. I mean, I know quite a bit compared to like the normal human being, but
compared like, to me.
Yeah. I mean, like compared to someone that doesn't know anything about sound at all or anything, but like as they're doing that, are you changing something to be able to hear them like the mandolin solo more or?
Yeah. So that being said, with how they ping back and forth with each other, this is the first group that I've ever had to deal with that being a thing for them and their music. And so as a front of house engineer, I think it's the most fun I've ever had mixing because it's not as just like, okay, my levels are set. You know, I can hear the drums. I can hear the acoustic guitar. I can hear electric. Cool. Like that's kind of what I'm going to ride out for the whole 75, 90 minute set. With these guys, it's a lot more consistently changing different levels of stuff, which makes it a lot more fun to mix because you're staying in tune with it the whole time.
Yeah. You have to keep, it keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. That's pretty sick.
That is. And, so, it really is like playing an instrument because you do have to pay attention.
I say live sound. I think mixing and mastering a song like to be put out to the radio or anything is super, super hard to do. Like people that do that, it's like 90% of done, but there's that extra 10% that someone that really, really knows what they're doing can take that song to the next level. And I feel like it's like that live too. Cause if he messes it up, like,
yeah, it's going to fuck up the sound.
It's game over.
And like, I'm not a studio guy. Like you talk about mixing and mastering. Like I can't hop in a studio and go cut a record. That's just not my thing. But with the live sound stuff, you have one chance, you know, like I'm in Laredo, Texas tonight, tomorrow I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. Those fans don't care about tomorrow's performance. They want it to be good for them tonight. So you have one shot at making sure that it's up to par.
Yeah. Which makes you feel that pressure. Like, you're only 24. Like we're still young in this. Like,
right.
Do you feel that pressure before a show? Like, do you like get butterflies or anything? Or like,
I'm not going to say every show I get butterflies. The first month or so, it was pretty nerve wracking, which I think is to be expected.
Yeah.
I
think if you're not nervous then.
Right, then there's something wrong. Like, there's something
then you don't. Then you
this
don't
isn't
care.
For you.
You don't care. That's what it is.
This isn't for you. But I wouldn't say every show. I mean, there's definitely larger shows and different venues or nicer venues that it's like, wow, okay, let's be on our game tonight.
Yeah.
But not every day.
What kind of venues are they playing? Like, how big?
Dude, anything you can think of. A small 200 person club to a 10,000 person theater and casino. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't realize that they were playing shows that big.
And like they're still playing. Like last year we went on a cruise. I'd been on with Rio for a month and we were on a cruise with like John Langston, Brantley Gilbert, a few others. And so they're still playing these really relevant things. And like this year, if COVID wouldn't have happened, we would have been playing Rock the South 4 sets before Eric Church would have been on that night. So
that's big.
Like, they're still playing big stuff. But that being said, they also play shows where you'd have no idea where you're at and it's just a small bar. So it's kind of fun because you mix everywhere and every kind of situation.
Well, imagine if they've been around that long, they have a cult following.
Yeah, very much so. They do.
Yeah, so that's just because like Cabe and I are not familiar with them. Right? I mean, that doesn't say
there's
much.
There's definitely people for
we're
it.
We're young.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. So, no, that's badass, dude. So what's like, tell me about the cruise. Cause I went on my first cruise in February and I absolutely loved it.
I forgot you did that.
Yeah. I loved it. And, I'm looking forward to booking our next one. My wife and I were actually looking at booking another one like soon. Cause they're so cheap.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, if we book it a year or two out, we'll pay pennies on the dollar compared to like what you do in prime time. How was that? I mean, were you guys, doing activities together on the boat or like?
So the cruise was, it was in November. Like I said, I'd been on for about a month, so I was still kind of finding my bearings. And I was like, hey, we're going on this cruise and your tour manager, like, let's do it kind of thing. So it was a 4-day cruise. We played the first night. We were the first show in the theater on the cruise. The second night we played on the pool deck, like the main deck of the cruise ship. And then we had a day off in Mexico, and then we played one more show coming back to Miami. And so it was like kind of do whatever you wanted to do during the day, get ready for the show in the afternoon, play it, and then hang out and do whatever you want to do on the boat that night. They had a cool artist lounge, which we had access to, and the whole nine yards, man. It was a treat.
That's dope. That's sick. So talk about tour managing too, because we've only talked about sound, and I know you, I didn't even know you did live sound until last night.
Right.
So we talked to Daniel. That's personal management, basically, is what I would consider that. Yeah. So for the listeners, there's all these different people. We're talking about it in my class right now. There are hundreds of people that go behind an artist's career, from someone that does something very small to someone that's as involved as they possibly could be, like a Daniel or a tour manager or an agent. So what is, just give like the baseline for what tour management is and like what your day-to-day kind of is like when you guys are on a leg of a tour.
So to preface it, when I got hired on, I let them know like, hey, I have never done tour managing in my life. Like I want to do front of house work. I want to run audio, but this is my first time doing anything like that. And they were cool with it. They were very understanding. But that being said, I had to get up to speed fast. It wasn't like, we're going to let you, you know, hang out in the kiddie pool for 2 years so you can learn how to swim. Like you got to get up and start really diving in. And, so like a day to day for me in tour managing would be, say we're a month out, like we have a show on the 24th of October, if things hold, in Huntington, Tennessee, which is
you
like
actually,
West Tennessee.
This is real.
Mm-hmm. This is real.
Sick.
This is real.
Love to hear it.
So like yesterday I emailed the venue manager in Huntington and just introduced myself, gave her our rough schedule, gave her what I need in terms of like merch tables. Here's my merch contact, catering. What else? Like I'm the check person, so we get paid at the end of the night. That goes through me. And so I email her that a month out. We're going to talk through the following weeks coming up to it. About 2 weeks out, we finalize everything. And then I'll make sure we have hotels because we get hotels, which not every band does that. So they have like a day room they can go hang out in while we're loading in, doing whatever. So I'll get hotels booked. If we have flights, which we don't have right now, I'm booking flights. Leave times, like you mentioned bus call earlier. Yeah. So if we're going to Huntington, Tennessee, say for instance, we might leave at like you said earlier, midnight.
Well, that I was talking about like, so we were talking, like you said, Motley Crue or whatever was in, Anchorage, right? So
yeah. Bands, for their like, farewell tour.
Not anymore, but bands now, like bands like that, that are like not country pretty much. They'll go on tour and they'll play 4 to 5 shows a week and they'll just be out. But in Nashville, what most people do is, probably more established artists, younger artists probably don't do it as often, but they'll leave either Wednesday night or Thursday night at midnight. It's called bus call. They'll go play a show the next night. So either if they leave Wednesday, they'd play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, come home Sunday, right?
Yeah, that's exactly
Or if you leave
right.
Thursday, it would just be Friday and Saturday. So bus call, they literally go to like a Kroger parking lot.
Yep.
And, right? Where,
yeah.
Which one is it? It's the one.
So we are, with them being so established, they're in a specific bus lot that's like gated and everything. But a lot of times you will hear people going to Kroger or like the Cool Springs Mall in Franklin, mm-hmm. places like that. And if you catch it right around midnight, some weekends, you'll just see any artist you can think of, just all of them and their crew hopping on a bus and rolling out of town.
A bus or three.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's depending, but, it's just, you'll just see all these cars parked in a parking lot and you're like, yep, that's, I know what that is.
Yeah.
That's so cool. In Anchorage, we didn't have that at all.
Yeah, that's different. I mean, that's different. Usually,
nobody's touring there. They're like, all right, hop in the 4Runner. We're driving to Fairbanks.
Yeah,
right. Like,
so that's more like if the show is kind of close, because they'll do fly days too. Like, say right. they'll play somebody will play a weekend in, say they just have a show in Atlanta, but the next week they're on like the West Coast or something. Their bus driver will drive through the week to meet them at wherever they're flying. Say it's Portland. Like if that's a far, like that's a super far, that's probably not feasible, but say that's what it was, their bus driver will drive to Portland and then they'll all fly out probably Wednesday night
or early Thursday. Well, like you were, I listened, like I said, to the podcast with Daniel and he was talking about his flying story with the whole Canadian thing going on. So one time we had like a show, we had a West run where we were out in like Utah, Nevada, Arizona, places like that. And so we flew into Salt Lake City, met our bus driver. He drove us all around the West area. And then he dropped us back off. I believe it was Salt Lake after a weekend. And we had a blizzard hit us. We were going up toward like Montana last year, got stuck in a blizzard, canceled the show. We went back to Salt Lake City because that's the only way that was, or only place that wasn't getting snowed in. I booked emergency flights the morning of, and everyone has their ticket bought. And we get to the gate and they're scanning in our tickets and my ticket doesn't scan, right? Everyone else in the band and crew is on the plane. And she's like, yeah, this ticket doesn't scan. Like, you never had a ticket. I'm like, what do you mean I didn't have a ticket? Like, I have a ticket in my hand. I booked these flights. Like, I'm here. I got past the security, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And we ended up paying out of road float, which like road float's just loose cash that you have.
It's like the oh shit fund.
Right. So we ended up paying $500 at the gate in cash for me to get on this flight. And then they wrote, swear to God, they wrote on a napkin my name, my flight number, and where I was going to. And I had to show that at our connecting flight in Houston of like, hey, here's what happened in Salt Lake City. Like, I promise you I'm on this flight. Like, here's what they wrote.
Dude, that's crazy.
It was just a long day, dude.
They couldn't print out a new ticket for you.
It was the most confusing thing ever, bro. You wouldn't believe it.
On a napkin. I'm so surprised that that flies right now. Like,
that blows my mind because I worked at an airport for 3 years as a ramp agent and then a cargo agent, and I swear to God, at all the gates they have a printer,
dude. Well,
for that situation,
they wrote it on a napkin, hand on a Bible, dude.
That is so crazy.
It was ridiculous.
They're like, best of luck, buddy. Thanks for the 500. You know what happened?
Right, exactly. That gate
agent was like, fuck yeah.
Dinner's on me tonight.
Yeah, that's crazy. Damn.
So how many people are in their crew? Or do you guys just take one bus? Like, say bus call was tonight. Like,
if we had bus call tonight, we have 11 people on the bus, 6 band members, 4 crew. So myself as tour manager, front of house engineer, our monitor engineer, Tony Morgan, lighting director, Alan Deneau, and then we have a guitar tech, Matt Bigler, and then we have our driver. So that's the 11. But there's only 4 people on the crew. And so you all got to teamwork it and piece it together every day.
Yeah. That seems fairly small, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not anything crazy.
No, I would say that's, especially Nashville, it's pretty, pretty small.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that also gives you a lot of opportunity to learn directly with those guys.
Yeah.
Or and from those guys.
Exactly. I'm the youngest on the bus by age of 21 years. I think the next youngest guy on the bus is 45.
And you're the one.
Holy shit.
And I'm somehow like in the captain's chair.
He's the head honcho.
Wow.
So it's quite an experience. Fuck. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah. I love that. No, that's sick. I mean, and just imagine like where you'll be in 20 years starting out with this big opportunity.
Fingers crossed, man.
That's crazy, man. So how are you guys adapting right now with COVID? I mean, are you doing more social distance shows or?
So we, since March, have had 4 shows, if I remember correctly. And we've wanted to play. Like in May, when everything was getting pushed back, we were supposed to have 18 in August alone. And those have just all fallen through. So we've had 4 shows and we want to play. But it just depends on these local municipalities and not a lot of people are open. So we don't really have the opportunity. But that being said, like we were talking about Missouri earlier, we were in Missouri in August for our lone August show that held, and they had a venue that was 6,000 person outdoor arena. And well, I say arena, just venue. And they ended up only having, I want to say, 1,400 people based on social distancing.
Dude.
Wow.
They had to cut, like, every other row was done. They had a stick where if you weren't with that family to your left or right, there was, like, a stick to make sure you're 6 feet apart, like, the whole 9 yards.
Dang.
Wow.
It's pretty strict out there.
It's pretty crazy.
That is great. Where was that again?
It was in Branson, Missouri. So, Missouri was one of the few states throughout the summer that was pretty open.
Oh, yeah.
So, we tried to take advantage of it.
Well, especially in Branson. Branson's like the Vegas of Missouri.
Right.
It's really weird. I've been there. My in-laws, that's where they go like every other Christmas. They go to Silver Dollar City.
That's where we played at with Silver Dollar, that theme park. Yeah.
I love that place.
It's fun, man. So,
it is fun. I don't like the walking up the hills and stuff, but it's a fun place. And yeah, Branson, if you guys haven't, for the listeners, if you haven't been, there's just live show after live show after live show. Like, you go anywhere in Branson, there's going to be a theater that's like,
with a lot of big acts too.
Come see that. Yeah. I mean, people I haven't heard of, but like, there are some big acts that come through town because Branson's just like, it's one of those tourist destinations that
I've never heard of Branson, Missouri.
You got to go. It's on the Ozarks. You have to go.
We'll end up there someday.
Yeah.
For a show.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll do a live iconic show.
It's Silver Dollar City on the roller coaster.
That place is so conservative. I don't know how we'll go. Like, they'll be like, what do you do again? They'll be like, oh, we have a podcast. What do you talk about? Shit. Like,
young man, did you just cuss? We can't have you here. Sorry.
They definitely won't let us in Silver Dollar.
Yeah. Hell no.
Nope. I actually think they have a rule against vulgar language at Silver Dollar.
Yeah, it'll bug.
Because it's like supposed to be like colonial and stuff like that. Because, you know, the colonials didn't cuss.
Yeah. At all. Nobody did. Nobody cursed until like 2010.
Yeah.
Except for Motley Crue. Mm. Dude, that is a big.
Yeah, is that a gallon?
It's a gallon. So I drink this like 1.5 times a day.
That's very large.
That's a commitment. Yeah. Like, you're really having to try to drink water. It's like
a lantern.
It is a lantern. Yeah, so I started drinking a gallon of water the day when I started knocking doors, and had to pee a lot. But in the Texas heat, you're sweating so much. Yeah. And so you're knocking doors sometimes in 110 degree weather for 8 to 10 hours a day. And so I would just sweat out most of it.
Yeah.
And so it was necessary. And then when I stopped knocking doors, on the days where I didn't drink a gallon of water, I felt like absolute shit. And so I've just kind of kept it up. Yeah. And plus I'm up like long hours. I mean, I work at Domino's right now while I'm trying to figure out my life. And I have an update on that. Yeah. I have an update to that. But, you know, I'll wake up typically around like 9 or 10 with my wife, and then I'll go to work. Like, tonight I'm going to work at 7 PM. I'm not going to get off work till 2 a.m.
Yeah.
So like, staying hydrated really, like, I just feel like it's super important.
Really helps.
Oh, it does. Listeners, you have to drink water. You have to drink water.
It's necessary.
Dasani, if you're out there listening, sponsor the pod.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Or Smart Water. Yeah. Any of them. We'll welcome them. Fiji. Let's go. You have to drink water. So let me update you on, Joe, you don't know anything about me, so I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I've traveled around a lot. My mom was Air Force, and you can kind of see now in my career history, I've moved careers every 3 years, like pretty regularly. And I quit Vivint after 3 years. And
Hold on. Go back and say that again, like the last 10 seconds, it just started geeking out. I don't know if they're going to be able to hear that, but I didn't hear it.
I don't even know what I said 10 seconds ago. Anyways, I moved around a lot as a kid, and now as an adult, I've done the same. And I left Vivint after 3 years, just like I've done with most jobs. And I was going to go Border Patrol, and that took way too long. So now I'm moving up to Vancouver, Washington to become a carpenter. And I had an update for Cave, and I'm trying to remember what it was. That was to bring you up to speed, Joe.
Have you been to Vancouver before? Not Vancouver. Have you been to Washington before?
Yes, I've been to Washington and Oregon. Yeah, I love it up
there.
It's
part of the world, gorgeous. Dude. Pretty part of the world.
And I'm originally from Alaska. So I miss the mountains. I miss the wilderness. I miss those outdoor activities that, yes, you can find in Texas, but not where I live.
Yeah.
Currently. Like, Laredo just isn't about it. Doesn't offer it.
Yeah.
So, update. I've been in contact with 14 different contractors and I have 5 solid leads. And because of the fires up there, if people aren't aware, the West Coast has been burning for the past month, and they're finally starting to like slow down a little bit. And so people are finally going to start hiring.
Love it.
So I'm in the apprenticeship program.
When are you leaving? Do you know yet?
Dude, honestly, if one of them calls me tomorrow and goes, "Hey, I need you Monday," I'm gone.
Love it.
So
right on, dude.
It's just about that. I'll be packing up the little Fiesta, and driving up and starting work. Love so it. I'm hoping by the end of this week the end of next week, I have something lined up at least, but sweet. I can't go up there without a job.
Yeah.
It's way too expensive to live there.
Yeah.
I had some other, let me find, can you guys still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So you guys don't have to wear masks anymore in Nashville.
No,
not true. That's
not true. Just my county.
Okay.
So my county is southeast of Davidson County, Rutherford County.
Okay. How has that been? It's just been a day, right?
It started last night at 5 p.m.
So have people like embraced that?
I have no idea. I haven't even been anywhere to see, but I mean, there were people here that weren't wearing masks at all, like ever. So, I mean, I'm sure people aren't, I don't know. See, in Nashville, in Nashville, it's like people are like sticklers about it.
They really are. Yeah. I live up in town, and it's a different world than coming even 30 minutes south. Yeah. It's very interesting to see.
Yeah. Well, Joe lives in a dope part of town. He lives in Germantown.
That's awesome. It's a fun area for sure.
Das spricht Deutsch?
Shut up.
Nein?
Not what that means. Stop.
Oh, okay. I just asked, do you speak German? It's stupid.
Thanks Google Translate.
Yeah, right. But so in Laredo, when before everything went to shut down for all the cities, people were already wearing masks.
Yeah.
Like there were already vendors from Mexico like selling custom boutique masks for like ridiculous price, like $10 a mask. Yeah. You're like, what the fuck? And then when everything went into shutdown, like mid-April. Like you will not walk around and see anyone without a mask. People are driving with masks on.
Yeah. I've seen that.
It's like ridiculous.
It's funny to me how like the mask mandate didn't happen until, I mean, when did that happen? Like that was not early on. Like that was like June.
The mask mandate would have been, yeah, it would have been June or July.
It was late. Like because we shut down. Like pretty much by the end of March, except for like grocery stores. Then for 2 months, everything was shut down except for like food delivery and grocery stores and gas stations, pretty much. Like nothing was open, but there wasn't a mask mandate. Like you didn't have to wear that.
It was just recommended. Yeah. Like if I went to like Trader Joe's to get groceries, I was the only person probably in that part of town not wearing a mask.
Yeah.
But it wasn't required at that point.
Yeah. See, it doesn't matter what your like political leanings are, right? Like masks have done like a decent amount to protect people.
Yeah.
But there are people that are just like ridiculously fired up. Like it was 2 days ago, my wife and I went to walk around the pond, and it's like midday or like early or late morning, like 10. And sun's out, so UV rays are out, killing all germs and stuff. And there are people running with masks on, and my wife and I aren't wearing our masks. Didn't even think about it.
People are looking at you all mean too, aren't they?
Oh, mugging us, dude.
It's just a weird judgment thing now, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. It's like, you're a piece of shit because you're not wearing your mask. I'm like, you're a piece of shit because you haven't done your research. Like, that's, you know, like, give a fuck.
Yeah.
Right? But if I go into a closed space, like, yeah, I'm going to wear a mask because, hey, I don't want to deal with, like, people, like, fucking yelling at me and shit.
Yeah.
But then also it is just a courtesy thing where it's just like, you know, I'm gonna do it out of respect of everyone else's fear.
Yeah.
Right. Obviously I'm not worried about getting sick, but I would hate if I got, you know, my in-laws sick or something like that.
Yeah. But we still have to wear it on campus. Like we sent out a message yesterday. What's today? Today's the 23rd. Yeah. So
yeah,
the campus restrictions for us are supposedly through September 28th. For like all like Greek life and stuff. And what that is now is like if you're in a group of more than 10, you have to be socially distanced and in a mask, which we have done. Like any event we've had to do that. But 50 people, I mean, our chapter now is 110 guys. So that's like, we can't even, like, we can't do a damn thing. So campus isn't campus probably isn't going to lift those restrictions. So we're still going to have to be wearing masks and socially, which is fine. Like, I can't complain about that. But it's not like if the county lifts the thing, then that automatically takes it off the school. Like, it's up to the institution. So we're I'm going to class at 4 o'clock and I'm going to have to wear a mask and everybody's going to be distanced and all that. So
do you have to get off soon?
No, I go at 4. So we have 30 minutes.
Well, my I don't know how my MacBook was at 100%. So fun fact, Zencastr drains battery because now I'm at 16%.
Yikes.
Plug it in.
Yeah. I'm nowhere near an outlet. I'm in my closet. So, the episode that Cabe and I haven't published yet, I was recording in my closet and it sounded much better.
Yeah.
And so, and because I'm packing's a bitch, by the way, I fucking hate packing.
Yeah.
My room's a mess. My room is just disheveled. My living room is disheveled. Like, you know, just my wife and I are going through everything. We're leaving this house, I think on the 14th or 17th of October.
Gotcha.
And so that's why I'm like really trying to get the fuck to Vancouver. Like, come on, like someone hired me. But where was I going with this? Where the fuck were we talking about?
Your closet.
Oh, I'm recording in the closet. I was trying to get to a reason why.
Your laptop
why.
Was going
to
die.
Your laptop.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. There's no outlets here in this closet.
Love it.
Nowhere.
Hear it.
No, dude. It's actually a super inconvenient place because this is a great place to record.
Yeah.
But it's just not convenient for when your fucking shit's dying.
All right. So, well, I guess we'll kind of wrap it up since you're getting low on battery. But I have one more question for Joe, but is there anything that you like want to plug or talk about or ask him or me?
I'm going to plug my work Instagram account. I started it in the middle of the pandemic because I had nothing else to do. And I was like, I want to have something to highlight what I do. So let me plug the old Instagram. If you listeners are ready or care, it is. I got to pull it up. I should know it and I don't.
It'll be in the description
as well. Where's Joe Today? So shout out to that.
What is it?
Where's Joe Today? And hopefully when things get back to normal, which is hopefully soon, I'll start populating a little bit more and
sweet
showing it off. But yeah, that's the only thing I have to plug.
So last question. Lakota, do you know what a writer is?
Yeah. So it's like special requests by the artists.
Yeah. So what is on the writer for you? Anything? I think that's a cool.
So our writer hasn't been changed in like, I want to say 3 years. It's pretty straight to the point. It's not like you'll hear some stories of writers that have like just brown M&Ms, for instance. And people are like, why would an artist want that? It's not because they necessarily only like brown M&Ms. It's because they want to make sure someone's reading their shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so ours doesn't have anything like specially hidden inside. It's like, oh, you guys clearly didn't read it. It's pretty straightforward and to the point. And on top of that, we're a pretty flexible group. Like we do have our lines in the sand for some stuff that we need, in a day of a show situation, but with all the different venues we find ourselves in, we can't necessarily like demand everything we want every time. So we're pretty flexible within reason in our writer.
If you had your dream writer, what would it look like in a nutshell? I mean, those can go pages and pages and pages, but in a nutshell, what would you have? You personally, not like as the band, like you personally as Joe.
The only thing that I can think of at this point, being so fresh into it and not really one seeing a lot of other writers so far other than ours, would be advancing a specific console and then a specific PA. I wish I could have the same PA every day because I'm mixing on who knows what every time I'm in a venue.
Wait, you don't have a mixer that you guys bring with you?
We do, but if I had to choose like the one that I specifically wanted, I kind of got grandfathered into the situation. So yeah, if I could have a specific board and a specific PA every day, life would be good. And that, which as you grow in your career and I hopefully will find myself with more acts down the road, that'll become a lot more accessible and something that's more of a standard per se, because it'll be different size venues and stuff. But just as now, if I had to pick something, it would be those two things.
Okay, Cabe, what would your rider look like?
12 pack of Michelob Ultra.
Okay.
Pretzel M&Ms probably. I don't know. I'm not a tour manager yet, but I will be one day. So I don't really know. Maybe like make them buy something like off the wall. Let me think. Like a chicken quesadilla, maybe from like the local Mexican restaurant, grilled chicken only with sour cream. I don't know. Like something kind of weird and quirky.
Okay. So mine would be 20 orders of 20 spicy McNuggets from McDonald's.
It's a good call.
We talked about those like 3 times.
Dude, they're so damn good. I'm probably going to get some today, and I really shouldn't, but I'm going to. It would be 3 bottles of Monkey Shoulder Scotch whiskey. If you haven't tried that, it's really good. And then like a fur rug, just like a cheap rug. One. Doesn't have to be like an actual
in your green
one.
Room like, or like on stage.
Yeah, in the green room. Like, and that one specifically to see if they're actually paying attention.
Yeah.
Like they that one would be like
for you.
Yeah, like that I don't care. Like it could be fake as fuck. I don't like you could like put feathers on a like glue feathers to something and call that a fur rug. Like I don't care. I just want you paying attention.
Yeah.
But yeah, just that. The McNugget the chicken nuggets one, most important one.
Why
most important one.
Okay, so speaking of McDonald's, have you had the Travis Scott meal yet?
No, you know,
ooh,
someone,
you gotta try
what
it.
Is it?
It's
what
just
is
a
it?
Double quarter pounder with barbecue sauce. So it's nothing fancy, but it's just okay. The experience of getting up to the door and saying it's lit and asking for the Travis Scott meal is just really a thrill.
What a genius hey. Marketing move.
Yeah,
for
very smart.
Those entities.
It is. All right, guys. Smart. I hate cutting you off. I'm at 5%. So this right. is gonna,
it's been real.
Joe, thank you so much for being on, dude. It is so cool. Like, hearing like a young perspective in the industry and like, you know, besides Cabe's, like of someone actually doing it and, you know, learning a lot in the process, we're going to definitely have you on again if you're down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I would love to come back on. It's been an honor being on here. I want to thank you again.
What's
and,
it like losing your podcast virginity? How was it? How was your first time?
Dude, this better than I could have imagined.
Popped
let
your,
me tell you that.
Podcast cherry.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, it's been an honor to have you on and pop your cherry for you. been a pleasure.
I really appreciate it, dude. Thank you for having
absolutely,
me.
Absolutely, man. And I'll get your Instagram links in the description so people can just click on there.
Sounds like a plan, dude.
Sick.
Awesome. All right, Cabe. I'll call you in a little bit.
All right.
Love you, dude.
Love you too. See you guys.
Peace. All right, Contians, that's the end of the episode. I hope you all enjoyed. Please subscribe and rate us wherever you found this, especially you Apple Podcast listeners, including myself. If you're on there, which 56% of you listen, go all the way down, give us 5 stars, and show us some love. It really, really helps us out, and it boosts our ratings. Be sure to turn on notifications as well, because from here on now, we're going to be posting very regularly, mainly on the weekends, so you don't want to miss out on those. Of course, this episode is brought to you by philosapothecary.com. You've dealt with stress, anxiety, and body aches. We all have. Well, now is the time to try Deep Relief Full Spectrum CBD Oil. CBD is nature's anti-inflammatory and has been scientifically proven to help with overall general inflammation in the body. Their full spectrum CBD oil also packs a huge punch when it comes to combating daily stresses and anxiety. I've been using it for a long time. I switched to isolate. They will be offering CBD isolate very, very soon. But if you have no problem with full spectrum, check it out and check out the lab results as well. Visit them at philosapothecary.com to pick up a bottle of CBD oil for yourself. Use promo code ICONTEVEN at checkout to receive 15% off and free shipping only on US orders. You can find us on social media. All links will be in the description.
And we will chat with y'all this weekend because we're publishing the third one this weekend. I promise you it's going to happen. I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of the week. We'll chat with y'all later. Peace.